some ways, the ksuba is the most complex issue that Masadmik Yidushin have to deal with. Everything else is just a matter of watching people doing it. You just copy what you've seen. But the ksuba requires actually to fill out a document. And that can be daunting for some people who are not used to it. So we'll try to discuss some of the highlights of the ksuba and whether Masad Yidushin has to concern himself with the ksuba, and then some of the lumdos of the ksuba a little bit, as time allows, just to understand what it's about. So, briefly, the concept of the ksuba, la halacha la maisa, is a din derabbanan. And although it says in every ksuba that we have, Ashkenazim, the chazal lechim midaraisa, the Rishonim already say, that's in order to establish the amount of money which is being paid. You want it to be what they call kesef tsuri and a kesef medina. I'm sure if you learn Kiddush, you know what that means. It's an 8-to-1 ratio, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a higher level of amount of money that has to be paid. This is the equivalent of what we read a couple of weeks, 50 shkolim. So it's basically 10 times pidyon haben. Has anyone here been involved in pidyon haben recently? Knows about pidyon haben. It's a rare occurrence. It doesn't happen too often. But it costs X amount of dollars. You have to give to the kohen. Whatever that X is zero. And that's what the ksuba is. It's called the ikar ksuba. Even though the concept is a dinder, it's the rabbanon, but we write it in the lashon of daraisa to indicate the higher number of amount of money. So even though, again, the ksuba is the rabbanon, but the amount of money is kesef tsuri, which is 10 times pidyon haben. Pidyon haben is about 100 grams of silver. So ksuba is about 1,000 grams of silver. And now how much that's worth depends upon the price of silver, you know, which goes up and down. There's a whole discussion, price of silver when? Price of silver when they got married? Or price of silver when they get divorced? Or when she's widowed? That's when the ksuba is collectible. Lanias daiti, it depends upon the price of silver. This particular part anyway, should depend upon the price of silver when they get divorced. That's when the ksuba is chal. But we'll see some of the details as we go. But before we even get into that, if the ksuba is the rabbanon, and the kesef yishkol kamor absulus, we're going to read it in Parshas Mishpatim, it's just an asmachta, it's just a comparison to the onus of a fata, so why did Chazal institute the ksuba? Who needs it? So the Gemara says, beferish, why? Shote kala bein of lotzia. That sometimes a person gets upset at his wife, give her a snap divorce. You know, you're not going to do it, it's going to cost you money. You know, people, they're pocketbooks, people think twice. So therefore, he's not going to divorce her. But Kabeinu Natsia, he'll tell me, this amount of money is a paltry sum. Not going to be a deterrent whatsoever. But Levi Yadua, that this amount of money, which is 50 shkol, which is Masayim Zuz, was, in time of Chazal, enough to live on for an entire year. That's a mission that Yerushalmi and Peah, which says that if you have that amount of money, you're no longer eligible to take payah, and that's the amount for a whole year. I may have mentioned to you that I once had a case where the ksuba was actually collected. Did I discuss it with you? Usually it's not collected. It's Mechilas HaKsuba is written into the Seder again. So when he asked Rav Moshe how much the ksuba is worth, he said, you know, it never comes up. Because all divorce now are negotiated. In the olden days, when a man could divorce his wife against her will, so then it's very important to know what a ksuba was worth. Today, it's all negotiations. So whoever wants the separation more will have to give in on things, as we see that in real life today. If someone says it's an extortion in some cases, which is unfortunate, it's a negotiation. Okay. So that's just the basics, the fundamentals of the ksuba, just a big gadol. Let's get down to some of the nitty-gritty of the ksuba. The nitty-gritty of the ksuba requires filling out a ksuba. So you probably have some of the ksubas maybe in one of your on your online thing. We had a few different kinds of ksubas that are found there. Let's take a couple of ksuba stories and a couple of ksuba facts. So the first line, we'll go in order the ksuba. I don't have it in front of me, but we'll just go online. Yeah, yeah.
It was just the last comment we made that giving you get is usually a negotiation, and therefore the ksuba is negotiated as part of that. Is the husband expected the giving of the get is also part of those negotiations, or is that something that is expected to be done immediately?
Again, if the marriage is over, the get should be given, in my opinion, immediately. Is against the Seder Aget? I'm not embarrassed to say it. The Seder Aget says that by the time the get is given, all of the financials should be done. There should be nothing left. Including, of course, Mechilas Aksuma. Rav Moshe writes away this Chuvus. I mean, it says away Beferish in the Seder Aget. Rav Melech Shechter, Zichron Levrach, used to teach us these in Yonim in the Yeshiva. Rav Shechter Shtita's father. He said that initially, that's why he also felt that way. But he realized that causes terrible aguna problems. Because the fella's not happy with the psak then. So I'm not going to give it again until you forgive the psak which was given to you. So the bezin is powerless. How can the bezin give a fair shake if they know if he doesn't like what it... he just won't? Now, of course, it's true the other way also. She won't like it, she won't take the get. So it works in both directions. So the best way to do it is have the get given first, not a bezin give a fair psak. The hands are untied by whether he or she refused to take or give a get. That's why it seems to make more sense to me. Even though there are those who claim get mutter, that's why. Because the get mutter, if I would have known that the bezin would have said it, wouldn't have given the get. That's as it's lemaisa, we don't pass in that way, just about any case. It was a famous case of the get me vina. The get me vina was a case that al gedolei hador got involved. Mamish. It makes today's stuff look like kid stuff. The get me vina, what happened as follows. A man was very sick. He thought he was going to die. And she was afraid of maybe a chalitza problem. So she convinced him to give a get. But they were lovey-dovey, right? I'm going to give a get. I'll give you a get. Well, I promise if you recover, I'll remarry you. No, I want to give a get out tonight. We don't give a get out tonight today. After a lot of pressure, he gave the get unconditionally. He recovered and she refused to marry him. The Marami Lublin, the get is butl, the get mutter. The presumption was it was a plot from the beginning. Not she changed her mind later. Al Ligidolin came out against the Marami Lublin. And Amar Shaw, this Ma, the Bach, These are household names in our vocabulary, but where do you find them arguing about a real life case? We don't know about it. They argue on the side of the page. That's nothing. They argue in a real case. The last Marshal, look in the last Marshal in the back, and it makes a reference to this situation. But the Zakan Gedolei Rabbanim at the time was a Levush. He's older than all these. He's an older Talmud of the Ramah. This is an old generation or two after the Ramah. On his deathbed, he signed a psak that the get is no good. He died 3 days later. So you had the Maram and you had the Levush. And everyone else on the other side. I didn't mention all the names. I can't remember all of them. But Shutgoni Basroi has it. You'll see a lot of... So that's just my short answer to your question. We assume that today it's better to get the get right up front once the marriage is dead.
But would you then...
I don't label people as ma'agdim so fast. If they say, I tell you my case, if she won't do this and this, she'll be an aguna, that's already a ma'agdim. But if he doesn't say, he says, I want to follow black letter law. I say it's bad. Bad for you, it's bad for her, it's bad for the bezin, no one can do it anything right. But I wouldn't call him ma'agdim. I say, you have to be careful using words, shouldn't be thrown around too fast. I'm an aguna, you know. I told you that story from last week. First day, she's going, I got to reget. She said, I'm an aguna. Yeah, it's a nice word to use, to be thrown around. There are 10,000 agunas in the world, some in America, some kind of New York Times printed it once. whatever, not for now. So let's discuss, before we get to some of the more fundamental, let's get to the details. So number one, it says the date. The date. You have to know how to spell the date. People say, why are we? Get a kid to Nachal Shiva that has to spell every single day of the week. Bishishis, with 1 year or with 2 years, just to give an example. We're wedding tonight. What do you do? Don't be a wise guy. Just get the kid to Nachal Shiva and tell them, fill it out in advance. Don't make any mistakes. Just fill it out in advance. Okay? The days of the month. Right? You have to know how to do it right. Don't do it wrong. Do it wrong. It reflects poorly upon you. You have, what's the day of the, what's everyone? Wait, hold this. Sarah Batavis was what? Was Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. 13, right? Shlosha Osayom. Not Eser Shlosha. Not Eser Shlosh. Shlosh Esrei. Right? And then you have, 10 days later, it's, right? Shlosha V'Esrim Yom. The single digits, the ones come first before the tens. And yet, Lashon Zohar, Lashon Nekeva. These are the things you have to get right. Right? And then, okay. And there's Yom and Yomim. That's another thing. Till 10 is Yomim, and if that's Yom. Nothing's Ma'akim over here, but get it right. Shnas Chamesh Alofim, Ushva Meos, V'Shivim, V'Tesha. Right? Lashon Nekeva. It's a year, it's a Shana, it's Lashon Nekeva. That's pretty easy. I mean, I've seen people get the day wrong. I once got the day wrong. I made a mistake once. I thought, what? I was in a rush. I didn't do it in advance. I made a mistake on the date. Corrected it, Baruch Hashem. But bigger rabbis than I made mistakes on the dates. So, can happen to anybody. Well, I should tell you some story about my wedding. This is going to make a little lebedik. When I got married, the Rovas and Masada Kedushin. So my father, unbeknownst to me, asked one of my cousins to write a fancy ksuba on klaf with ksav soifer, whole thing. Okay. I was clueless. I really didn't know anything. So he pulls out a big thing, big klaf, and on the top, in the middle, it says Berevi. Berevi, you know, Berevi B'Shabbos. The Rav said, puzzles, no good. Why the puzzle? Well, Brevi is a different size. It's in the middle of the line. You have to have it sure he's, straight. No thing should be bigger or small. It has to be exactly straight. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was right there. He said, Rebbe, but all the ksubas are that way. You know, if you go to any museum, the illuminated ksubas all have the day of the week. And, you know, that's normal. You know? Have you ever seen such ksubas? No more? Not can't come anymore? The kids, the Rav starts reading Vaita. It says, "Mishnas Chameshes Alofim V'Sheish Meos." I wasn't born in Sheish Meos. What happened was my cousin was copying from the Hamadrich. Now the rabbi who wrote the Hamadrich, I don't know where he was thinking, he wrote in the 1930s. 1930s was Sheish Meos V'Tishin. It became obsolete a few years later. But my cousin was copying, he didn't realize, he made a mistake. The Rav smiled. I told you it was puzzled. He had a beatific smile on his face. He was in seventh heaven. Okay. Put it away. I know what's supposed to be now. I don't know what the ksuba. So my wife has two uncles, both Rabbanim. First they bring my wife's father's brother, just passed away a little short while ago, pulls out the RCA ksuba. Now you know the rub is the RCA, right? The RCA ksuba. Father said, no good. Why not good? It has on the top, Beis Samach Dalet. And he rubs it in his accent. What is this? A letter? It's a star. Wouldn't want to use it. I kid you not. Wouldn't want to use it. He's the RCA. No, put it away. My other uncle, on my wife's mother's side, came with a Chaim Berlin. He came with a regular silver. Oh, a regular silver. The Rav feels that he mamish made a mistake, but a real mistake, in the name rule. So we had to go back to the RCA ksuba. Nebuch, he had to use that ksuba. My ksuba is an RCA ksuba. When the Rav fills out a ksuba, he always fills it out the entire line. Most people say, like a check. You write a check for $5, five, and you put a line to the end. The shoes you write down for 500, 5,000, 5 million. You put a line. The Rav would fill out the whole thing. Usually it's not a problem, right? So many letters in the Hebrew alphabet can be elongated ad ein sof. A resh. This example, a resh, I can write a resh like this, like in the Sefer Torah. A resh can go the whole line, yeah? Good, everything's fine, fills it out. But this Arsi Ksuba has last names. I don't like last names. I don't like to use that. Last names always make psoras. Here's the cell we had. My last name. Vav. Vav. Yud. Lamed, you can't do much in the Sefer Torah Lamed. You know, you can do it like this, but in all Lamed, not much to do with Yud. There's just much space. Because the name could be Rabin if it's Tumim. You have to have a lot of space for a long name. And now it's stuck. Rav goes like this. Makes a gimbal like that. My young cousin was sitting next to me. His uncle says, Abba, that's not a gimbal. I gave him an elbow. Luckily, Rav didn't hear. Otherwise, we'd still be at the tish. Otherwise, Rav would have written that to someone on a napkin. Like, you know, like that would have had a really precious keepsake. That would happen. Anyway, a few stories. Super stories. Anyway, so yeah, I like to avoid last names. Someone just called me down this week. What do you do with a second marriage for the woman? Is it a maiden name? Is it a first married name? It's a complication. What do you do with adoptions and mises? It's very complicated. Okay. But, fine. The name itself has to be spelled correctly. Often, the person spells the name incorrectly. At my wedding, the Rav changed my wife's spelling. My wife's name is Fega. She always spelled it Fega the way her father taught her. Fe, Yud, Yud, Gimel, Alf, two Yuds. Rav said, no, one Yud. Okay. Argue with the Rav. It's true. That's how they said in this poskim. The problem is there are three sounds. In Yiddish, we try to put the vowels into make them, you know, with letters. So there's E, A, and I. But what are you going to do? So, if you ask me what I should have done, E should be one Yud. A should be two Yuds. I should be three Yuds. But that didn't have three Yuds. So in litter, so the I is two Yuds, and the E and the A are both one Yud. Kachaze. So he just changed the spelling from two Yuds to one Yud. That's just, he spells it out of Yomazet. The Rav said, okay. There are much bigger mistakes than that. This, because Fega could be, because there are some places they did spell with two Yuds. But people spell their names wrong. Just push it wrong. Hebrew names can be spelled wrong too. I always say that you should ask a person who's going to sign the ksuba how you sign your name. Because you never have some crazy spelling. But I once made a mistake, I didn't even ask. A Talmud of mine was signing a ksuba. How can you make a mistake if you spell it? His name is Moshe. How can you spell Moshe wrong? Well, he proceeded to spell Moshe Mem Vav Shin Hey. I kid you not. Even in Eretz Yisrael, everything's with a Vav, with a Yud. I never saw a Mem Vav Shin Hey in my life. I never saw it. Aaron, in Israel, people spell it all the time Aleph Hey Resh Vav Nun. That's incorrect. There is no Vav. V'chule. That's as far as Hebrew names. You got to spell them properly. Now, sometimes it's tricky knowing how to spell a Hebrew name. But the Yiddish names, oh man, people make crazy spellings. So the rule is Rav Ada Bar Ava. Aramaic names end in Aleph, and Hebrew names end in Hey. That's the Gemara, Rav Ada Bar Ava. So all foreign languages end with an Aleph. But people spell them, especially though in the Hebrew schools, they no Aleph. Everything's a Hey. So every Yiddish name, like my wife's name, ends with an Aleph. No, it's with a Hey. I mean, first of all, they probably wouldn't let it keep the name. Probably make it Hebraicize the name. People make it Hebraicize the names, and that comes all kinds of problems. What's her real name when she's given at birth? And then they changed the name when she went to school. It was a Zionistic school. They don't want the Yiddish names. And after what's her real name? So I often will say, I'm not my Rebbe, but still, it's wrong. It has to have a Hey at the end, not an Aleph or an Ayin at the end. These Yiddish names. Bechule. So instead of having to do it on the spot, try to figure things out in advance. In advance, get the names right. Okay? Very, very important. What happens if it's a stepfather situation or adoption situation? What do you do about that? What do you do about that? So the truth is, if the woman is adopted, you really should write Giyur Tadah, unless she's adopted before the age of three. No. You should always write Giyur Tadah. If she's adopted before the age of three, the Ksuba is Masayim. It's a Mishnah Mefresh and Ksuba Saf Yod Aleph. Afterwards, it's Monas. It's a much smaller amount. But people don't, no one knows she's adopted. So what do you do? And then the question of Pesulta. Did we discuss this before about Pesulta? No. Well, she's not a Pesula. So if Moshe says, if he knows she's not a Pesula, he can write Pesulta though because he's agreed to pay more money. This is right. Unless it's Rabbi Moshe, her boyfriend was a goy. Because then you write Pesulta, you're conveying an impression that she's Muteris Lekoyin. But she's not. That's for the kind. She's with the guy, she's a boyfriend. So what do you do then? So I had that case. I had the person, Balas Tshuva. We spoke a little bit about Balas Tshuva. I had the person come in with a friend early. He wrote down Itis Adah, but there's lower number for the Ksuba. And I gave that to the chosn to give to the kala in the yichud room. And we went to a formal ksuba, which I then took at the end of the day and I put it in the garbage. So we did. Not to embarrass, no means to embarrass. You should take it. She's a bigger tzaddik than all of us. But mokam shebalei tshuva omdim, ein tzaddikim gemir michol lavo. You know, she was in college, she wasn't from at all. She was a totally secular person. She had Jewish, that's how it was in the university campus. These are people already grandparents. It was that way already 30 years ago. Today, b'kal v'chayim. We try not to embarrass people. So, it's true. Some of us, no one knows she's adopted. So do the same thing. You write that in the kind of, make an early comma. Someone knows early. Put in there, giyur tadah, and then do a fancy ksuv outside which says besul tadah. Those are not fooling anybody. You don't want to embarrass anybody. Those are the goals. Okay.
Bas
Avraham Avinu, right? Every car is Bas Avraham Avinu, right? Not Avraham Avinu. You have to put Avinu in there too. Yeah, otherwise that's what we write next to the for Ger. Avraham Avinu. Yeah.
You could do the same thing for Grusha. She doesn't want people to know that she was
divorced. That's, you know, it's so hard that no one knows she was ever a Grusha.
And if people know, well, that's not she
No, most people don't know.
It's like she got divorced very early.
Right. I was at such a case.
I've heard of such last time.
Yeah, I was in a case like that. They just mumbled the ksuba. They mumbled it.
Because
they say besulta when there's 100 people, there's 5 people at the wedding, 50 you'll know that she was divorced, she was married before. Hey, you're at a besulta. That's a problem. You see what I'm saying? No one knows except for 2 people. If she was married before, there would probably be that one who went to the first wedding too. How could that be? You're at a besulta, make a joke out of it. I mean, she made time and she's talking. It's a besulta. She never lived with her first husband. It was such a quickie. But, you know, whatever. They just mumble. That's what they do sometimes. Okay. So it's Ploni ben Ploni. And then she's Plonis bas Ploni. All right? That's where we are at Luxuba. The mother's name does not belong in Luxuba, despite the feminist innovations of today. It should just be the father's name. That's what it should be. If there's a Kohen or a Levi, so that should come at the end. Ploni ben Ploni Halevi or ben Ploni HaKohen. Plonis bas Ploni Halevi ben Ploni HaKohen. That same thing appears at the very end of the Ksuba. But her name is mentioned once, and his name is mentioned 4 times between the first one and the last one. Then you don't mention the father's name, only the Chos and the Kala's name. And if the chosn is a kohen, you have to say a kohen each time. Why? Otherwise, it's a cholo. It says Reuven ben Shimon a kohen. It says Reuven, 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 Reuven. It doesn't say a kohen, so you think it's a cholo. So you have Reuven HaKohen, Reuven HaKohen, Reuven HaKohen, Reuven HaKohen, then Reuven and Shimon HaKohen at the beginning and at the end. Got it? Levi is a matter of discussion. I don't think the word Levi is required, because if the father is a Levi, the son is a Levi. Now some say she put in her Levi each time, and there is a remote case where the father is a Levi and the son is not a Levi. Anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? Well, by Cohen is easier. He married a Grusha, married a Chalala, married a Zayner. He's a Mamzer. A Mamzer lacks Kedushas Levi. You look it up in the Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah in the Mishnah Berurah. So there's someone saying, if we should put a Levi each time. But that's not really necessary. If he's a mom, they shouldn't be marrying this woman in the first place. So what do you have to put each time? Right? So I'm a Levi. I didn't do it. The last one, we wrote a Levi, just to make one of the rabbanim happier. We wrote a Levi every time. Simcha Levi each time. But I don't think it's really required. You want to put it in, it doesn't hurt. Okay. The father's not alive. There's a change. Because it says Mibe Avua. And we change it to Mibe Nasha. That's a blank in most ksubas. Okay. The ksuba has three obligations. From the ksuba itself, which as we said, 10 times pidyon haben. That's fixed the price of silver. Then there is two additional obligations of Meir Zekukim. Sachakol Masayim Zekukim Kesef Tzav. Zekukim is a coin. Not found in the Chumash, obviously. It's a European coin. And the question becomes, what's the relationship financially between these two? So I wrote down over here. Again, it's not really relevant. Because people don't collect ksubas nowadays. But it's just something which is good to know. Let's see if I can find over here. Here we go. So, Tosefes Ksuba. Tosef says, Akshav Nogu Shekosin Chosin Lekala Mea Litrin. 100 pounds of silver. A lot of silver. 100 pounds of silver. Rama writes, every ksuba is identical. That's what it says. Fine. Ramosha's tshuva is chelik dalat simen sadi aft. You can't divorce against the will. So therefore, it's negotiable. Doesn't matter how much it really is. But he says, Rav Moshe writes, it's 100 pounds. Okay? So if pidyon haben is approximately, a pound is 453 grams, for your information. So if pidyon haben is 100 grams, shi'ur ksuba is going to be 45,300 grams. Which is, well, pidyon haben was about 4 years ago was $50, and therefore 200 zuz is $500, I told you before, and ksuba was approximately those days $23,000 Tosefes ksuba. That's a bit of cash, right? Because it's quite a significant multiple of the shear of the ikur ksuba. Chazanish is a bigger shear, 57,600 grams. Whoa. That's obviously more money. But Rav Chaim Noah was about Pukta Chazanish, Kayodua, not only when it comes to how long an Amma and the Kibetza, y'all go here too. And his shear, based upon the Drisha, is only four times more than Masayim Zuz. If you look at the same Midos for Shiurei Torah, his Drisha backed out. It's really four times that. 16 times. 16 times. In Poland, they held that the Zekukim were 20 times the Masayim Zuz. And if it's a coin, coins fluctuate. It's not a question. It's not a matter of of pure silver, if that's the case, it's about $10,000. Called the Drisha, it's about $2,000. If he backed out, it's $16,000. Chaznish is $30,000. Well, he's $25,000. A lot of money. Okay. Fine. According to Ramosha, the chov is really a chov in matbeos. It's not in silver, it's in coinage. Can't go into the details right now. At least it's Tosefis Ksuba. That's a coin. We say Kesef Tzarah, but it's really fundamentally a coin, because Zekukim is a coin. Zuzim is one thing, but Zekukim is something different. Interestingly, the Taz has a whole discussion discussing about ribbis problems. So the push-up shot, you pay the value in dollars, we pay dollars, at the moment of the get or the death. That's the time of the chiyuv, like pidyon haben, b'shas 31st day. But the tosefes in the dunya, it could depend upon the moment of the nizun, potentially, based upon the matbeos of that point in time. It's a whole ribbis discussion. So the rabbi who once announced at a wedding, the amount of dollars at that point, I thought he was totally wrong. No, he's really right, though. He's wrong about the Messiah Zuz, because that's silver. That depends upon the day of the death or divorce. But the Messiah Zukukim may depend upon on coins and dollars, and may depend upon the time of the actual marriage. Again, it's not Lemaisa, just a discussion. A little bit in theory. When is the Shibud Chal? The Shibud Chal immediately right away. You don't have a Ksuba? Ko bilosa bilaz nus. Before Shigamara. Kalapochas the psulim and masayim on the mother is bilaz nus. Okay? So you have to have a proper Ksuba. Must you have what's called a Shibud Nechasim to avoid bilaz nus? A lien on the properties? Not so simple. That's so simple. According to the Rambam, it's a Tanai Bezdin. Automatic Shibud Nechasim. According to the Ramban, the Chatchil, you have to write a Shibud Nechasim. Can't get all the sources right now. It's a Shaila. And the Meiri writes, Im Hister Beferish Lo Yir Shah Nechasim Meshubadim Leosa Ksuba. He gives an impression that's not considered to be a bilas nus, because the ikat takan of Shimon ben Shetach, he was metakan that all of the possession have to be underlined to the ksuba. I'm reading the Marsha, ksuba's pay base, but all the bnei chorin. That's because Shimon the chosim is not part of the original takana. Fascinating. It's derived from the Braisa, it's not a Bilas Nus. Why? It says, Ksuba She'en Machrayas Komen B'nei Chorin, Kondra of Meir. They're not talking about Yisr. Bismaneinu, he says, no one collects a Meshubadim. There's no coal anymore. If you look at the Sukkot Sagamon Baba Metzia, there's no coal. And the Beishmul sounds that seems to be that way. And the Chazanish seems to hold that way. So the bottom line is, we assume, even if there's no Shibud Nechasim, there wouldn't be a Bilas Nus, even though some disagree. My Nafkamina. What about the wedding night? When is the Shibud Nechasim Chal in a Shtar? Sofayom. So if they got married at night, so that by the time the couple's together for the first time, so the Shibud Nechasim is not Chal yet. Okay. Doesn't matter. Others will say, the Chal, the beginning, and have a, you can be somech on the Edim, in the Kabbalah's Kenyan. But the more important question is the time. I left that out until now. In a typical case, Rabbi Osai, the ksuba is done, let's say they get married on Sunday afternoon. So good, no problem. They get married on a winter night, no problem. But there's so many months of the year when you run into the shkia problem. Huh? If Sunday weddings today, you know, Sunday weddings are called for 4 o'clock. Yeah, you know what happens at 4 o'clock. Boop, 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 boop. They first start, till they turn around, you know, the chuppah's not until 5 o'clock, if you're lucky. Okay? So they wrote the ksubah on Sunday, and then they really get married on Monday. Is that ksubah good or no good? The whole world holds it's good except for Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Moshe holds it's no good. Why do we all think it's good? What's the difference? Sunday, what's this coming Sunday? 15th of Tevis, is this Sunday, correct? If I wait a minute. So right down the 15th of Tevis. And the wedding is at night, 16th. Who cares? The Sheba's Chal, the Makabal Kenyan, to pick up a handkerchief or a pen or whatever it is these days, a cell phone, whatever you use. And it's Chal from that moment. So what's the difference? It's not a Shtam Muktam. Rav Moshe says, no, it's impossible to obligate yourself to a Ksuba before you are married. Either Gemaras? No, all the Gemaras refer to the old days. There was a 12-month gap between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. But today, when the ksuba is undertaken, not discussing Eretz Yisrael, they did under the chuppah, but for us in America, they're not married yet. So therefore, it's not chal yet, and therefore it's going to be a shtar muktam, it's no good. Rav Moshe concedes in his tshuva, it's against everybody. He agrees, it's against what the other mefarshim say. Rivosh is against him. It's in chelek dalet simen kuf, Sivkot and hay. Seems to me, Rabbi Osai, if Rabbi Moshe is right, I'm sorry to say it, all of our Kabbalah's Kenyan at Iksuba is nothing more than a photo op. Why? Let's think about Sunday at noon. Noon! There's no question of Mukta Mabucha. Noon! He picks up the pen, and he smiles for the camera, and the aid them sign. Look at Valdik. According to Rav Moshe, it's not chal. When is it chal? When he puts the ring on a finger an hour later. It's 1 o'clock. But we all, those who know that Kenyan Chalipa doesn't work. Hadra Sudra Lamare. It's Kosa Kenyano. It doesn't work. So every Kabbalah's Kenyan according to Rav Moshe is a bluff. It's hard to swallow that. Rav Moshe did it himself. I was at many ways Rav Moshe officiated. He also can be a Kabbalah Kenyan. Came his handkerchief and he wrote that. But according to him, it's no good. Yeah?
Is there any cool if you did the opposite, that you thought they were going to marry after Shkia, but it moved quickly, you didn't realize how fast it would be, and it's before Shkia, and you didn't do some speech or whatever?
So you mean the Shtar is a Shtar Me'ucher?
Yeah.
Shtar Me'ucher is kosher. Shtar Me'ucher is a problem that right now there's no Shibut. So maybe the wedding night is a problem. We spoke about that. Shtar Me'ucher. Nunu. We had coolers for the wedding nights as they were on the Edim, v'chule. What I do in these cases is, I'll just wait. Who says the ksuba must be signed by the chosin's tish? Is that a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai? Do it later. Rabosai, my son Rafal got married, he insisted that Rabbi Yudin Shlita be the Eid ksuba. My son Moshe had him. I'm not only Rabbi Yudin. Call me Yud. He's delayed. I don't care. Ask you, Yud. It's okay, fine. We went to the Badekin without a ksuba. And Rabbi Yudin came, and the ksuba was signed in a private room. Shame. Ksuba was just as kosher. But Rabbi Yudin's, it's more kosher. Can't get no more kosher aid than that. No, that doesn't happen. So if you have a Ben HaShmashas problem, you can do the same thing. Right? You don't have to fill the ksuba a little bit later. And you have the later date. So what I do is, if it's close, if it's shkia, once it's shkia, somebody's delayed a half an hour because they don't want to make the ksuba, they don't want to make the wedding ben hashmoshes. It's a tircha de tzibur, it's terrible. Wait till the sun sets and put the later date. You don't want to make a shtar mucha lechatchila. The way it works in our weddings, it won't cost any time. That's what I assume. Okay. Again, in Eretz Yisrael, they have a minhag of the Kabbalah's Kenyan under the chuppah, which is a better minhag from certain perspectives, because it's already they're already married, But making a mistake is, of course, more common if you're doing it under pressure, under the... Now, do you need Eide Mesira for a ksubah? It's a new style. Eide Mesira. When I got married, there's no such thing. Seems to me that it doesn't help Eide Mesira. A ksubah is a shtaraya. Shtaraya has to have intrinsic proof in and of itself. If you have to rely on Eide Mesira to come testify, even if they happen to be alive when it's collectible, you don't collect atzol fayom either, bepshuta. Because the shtar itself doesn't prove anything. Neither Adam himself, Adam, you don't collect from the shuvadim, bepshuta. So therefore, I do not require the Messiah by a ksuba. Some say, they quote Psa Chuvis, or the Chuvis Farm says that maybe if there's something wrong with the Kedusha Kesef, we'll rely on the ksuba of the Kedusha Shtar. Because that's heavy lily into, because that's Moshe of Yisrael. All ksubas are usually printed, it's not Lishma, not Midaita, it's possible. It can't. No one has Kavana for a Shtar. Very shver of art. Very sure. Now, the ksuba itself, as we said, is a shtar, right? And the fearful is proper that the chosn and the edim know what they're talking about. So I will always read the ksuba with the chosn with the two edim before we pick up the pen or whatever it is and before we sign it. She knows what he's getting himself into. Important. But a ksuba, although it's a regular shtar, that's why there's no, very important, there's no merzik a shikra by a regular shtar. That's why it's permissible to write v'kanina in advance. Many ksubas have the word v'kanina is missing, it's a blank. Great. But I remember in my youth, I used to leave it blank because that was the minute. Numerous mistakes can come if you leave it blank. The most common mistake, you forget to fill it in later on. You know, there's pressure. They pick up the pen and then they ate him sign. And, oops, I forgot to do the kanina. I was at a wedding one time and they're reading the ksuba. They're reading. All of a sudden the guy stops. I know what it was. It was blank, but it was a kanina. Rabbi Shechta Shlita was there and he said he needed a new ksuba. Another great rabbi, he wasn't getting right then and there. After they had signed already. How do you do that? He writes in the Ksuba, Masayim, Tosha Masayim Zkukim, we'll put an extra word. Million. Masayim million Zkukim. Why not? You can start putting things in after they had signed. You call that tampering. Star tampering. How do you put in the word after they had signed already? But all right, those are things. It's obvious. Again, the Ksuba is not so chomer these days because but then there are times when it smudges. They fill out the ksuba in advance, a fancy one, give you a fancy pen, and it smudges. Then, I have a story with Rabbi Moshe once. When calligraphized ksuba started being fancy in those days, and someone had a calligraphized ksuba, Rabbi Moshe Pesach Kedushin, they were so frum about sign. That when they filled out the ksuba, they told him to leave out the word of the kanina. They were so frum, they left out the space to put in the kanina also. The look at smachal comes to start, min, no room. So Rabbi Moshe was about to take a carrot, and put in the word the kanina between the lines, and the bottom said the word of the kanina is between the lines. I wouldn't have the guts to do such a thing. Rabbi Moshe did it. Moshe allowed it. Fine. There are other ksuba texts. I just want to mention to you because we're in our yeshiva. We have certain mesoros and certain distinctions. You may have seen an ksuba that's a little bit different sometimes. I'll give you the history behind it. Fascinating history. You have to know human history through the story, you remember what happened. There's a professor named Dr. Richard Steiner, very choshev yid, who was I think he's retired now from his professorship, and for many years in the Revel, he was a professor of Semitic languages. Very bright man. I'm in my shul. Before he moved from, he was earlier from Riverdale to Kew Garden Hills, 69th Road. That was my parents' block. His daughter was getting married. His daughter married a big Talmud Chacham. His name was Rabbi Nachum Chacoba with Shlita. He's a dayan in Eretz Yisrael. A very choshev Talmud. Do you remember that? Before your time. Kitzah, his daughter Chani. And Chani grew up in my shul. He said, comes to me and says, Rabbi, the ksubas are all fagreis. They're all mistakes. Can we get it right once and for all? I said, okay, let's start my daughter's wedding. So he asked me, I said this. On the grammar and the Aramaic, I leave it to you. On the halacha, go to Rabbi Shecht. I don't want to take the change. I'm not my style to change anything. So if you, I think they have these copies in their emails, whatever it is, you'll see that we'll call the Rav Shecht Ksuba. I'll give you Bekitzer Nimritz, the some of the hallmarks of the Rav Shecht Ksuba, which is different than Aksuba. And this you'll get it. I feel the Alb Ksuba Bechala Begadol. The first one is he has two words there, Anan Saadi. Anan Saadi is true when it comes to a shtar. The people saw on the bottom, we are winners. It makes perfect sense. I believe certain Sephardic swimmers have Anan Saadi. Ashkenaz never had it. And there's a reason why they don't have it. The reason is that a ksuba is a shtickle maisa bezd. Sugim sechta git, daf yuches. It's not a straight shtar. It's a hybrid. It's in between a shtar and maisa bezd. We'd have to leave out Anan Saadi. If you look at the Nachashim in the latest form. So that's Rabbi Shevna's change, but you know, I'm still using the old ksuba. Okay. So eich, you fill out a ksuba, the first word, if the word eich, is habocher. Some ksuba say hachosn, which is not correct. Habocher, he's not a chosn yet, he's not married yet. Habocher. Ploni ben ploni. Omar the psulta, plonis pas ploni, if it's Moshe Yisrael. And then we say va'ana. What's the next word after va'ana? No one knows, the ksuba by heart. Eflach. And Dr. Starr is so upset that in some places they say ana falach. Some yeshivish people don't know what they say. So I have a story about this. There's another professor of Jewish studies who met me. And his grandson, Shalom Zach, I met him. He tells the following thing. He said, there was a certain rabbi who was sitting next to me who once read a falach. He said, is it a mistake? By you, it's a mistake. He's a very modern rabbi. He said, by some of the charedim, then maybe it's not such a mistake. Why? Eflach means, I will work. A falach is hifil. I'll make you work. Don't make the mistake, please, Rabbi Sayyid. Even if your wife works, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Read Eflach. Eflach va'okir va'farnes yisichi lichi. Yisichi lichi. Afarnes osach. I will cherish. I will work. I will cherish. I will feed. I will support you. What's the word lichi doing there? It's a mistake. It was taken from Gittin. Achmad al-Litzah. But again, he used the word yisichi lichi, I divorce you to yourself. And someone got, somehow you know how it is in Jewish life. They put it into it. Rabbi Shechel took out the word lichi. It's out, it's not there. More accurate. But you know, I have to still use the old service. Okay. Then there are a couple of words that Dr. Steiner was said had to be read. By the way, I read that ksuba. That ksuba at his daughter's wedding, I was mechubet kriyas ksuba. I said, you better write for me how you want me to read everything. So I have this handwriting. I have it all there. Ano eflach v'okar, not v'okir. That's correct Aramaic. You can argue that it's a precious Semitic language in the graduate school. Okay. Trying to get in the middle. So what are the changes he made? So Meshechta changed. We have a ksubas b'chaya basar chayai, and he said b'chaya basar mosi. It's a euphemism. After you live, means you're dead. So they changed it, but the original ksubas said basar mosi. That's another change of Meshechta put in. And then some of the words are a bit different. We have ksubas for toseftos. No, it's tosafos. It's not that extra tough doesn't belong. And the spara, he said the shpil is spara, oh, with an ayin, with an aleph. Yeah, there's Dr. Steiner's changes, which Rabbi Shechter approved of. and I'm missing a few others. But if you look at the that version that you have, you'll see it's a little bit different. Now, the Ksuba is a secular document. That's why the Rav held B'siyata D'Shmaya doesn't belong. Obviously, it's not Ma'akev either way. I'll tell you another story that will help you remember the first story. Fast forward about 13 years after my marriage, and Rabbi Goldvich Zal from Yavne is being B'siyata Kedushin by a Talmud of ours, and the family is from Far Rockaway at the time. So the Sulus Rebbe comes over to Rabbi Goldvich, and I'm sitting right next to him, and says, "Anshuldig," in Yiddish. The ksuba is a regular ksuba. Is it okay if I write on the top of the ksuba, "B'siyata D'Shmaya," or "Baruch Hashem"? So Rosh Yeshiva looks at me and says, smiles and says, "Rebbe, as I schreibt that check, schreibt the B'siyata D'Shmaya." He's paraphrasing my Rebbe. It's a star. It's a check. The Rebbe went apoplectic. Ksuba's a check. Ksuba's a holy thing. Okay. So he read it there. Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach. He got the full... No, he wasn't... you have to know how to... You have to know what's important, what's not important. The stories are one thing, but after when push comes to shove, nothing really matters that much. Especially in such a thing. Okay. The... calligraphized ksubas are a potential problem, because in theory, the ksuba should be in the hands of the woman and not in the hands of the man. Right? It's a ben lotzia. I don't know where my ksuba is. My wife knows where it is. She hangs it on the wall, that the husband wants to divorce his wife, he just rips it off, takes it off the wall, walks away with it, says, "Here's your get." I mean, in theory. Nonetheless, you want to have calligraphy, they're considered zekei levi anveyu, so we can't argue, it exists. But I'm still in favor of the... My wife calligraphies all of my kids' ksubas. All of them. Just for Chavibas Indian, to my knowledge, none of them is hanging. It's just, they're somewhere. There's a double yofe. She wanted to show her love for the first children. But there are people with ksubas hanging. It's not so terrible either. Unless you find a mistake on it. And that's the problem if you lose the ksuba. Losing the ksuba is more common than you'd expect. People lose ksubas all the time. You lose a ksuba, you have to write a new ksuba. What's that called? You know? A ksuba de irchasa. That's a much longer, longer text. I tell you, my first ksuba de irchasa, we didn't even have it. Now they print it out. So you can get it out. Rabbi Penna did it. They gave it out to all the yeshiva guys. It's on some. We didn't have this. But you know when the most common time lose a ksuba is at the wedding. People lose a ksuba at the wedding. I've gotten calls 2 a.m. We lost a ksuba. Can we be together? I said yes, based upon what we said before. So once a case was that it was a week, he got married on Sunday, comes Erev Shabbos, I lost the ksuba. On Shabbos, I'm tired, the ksuba's lost. It was the Motzei Shabbos of Slichas, I still remember. I said, come back, and the guy had a nice handwriting. I gave him the Madrich, and he wrote the whole ksuba out long, it's twice as long as a regular ksuba. Beautiful handwriting, his own ksuba he filled out. But I was going to be a shiur before Slichas. After seeing us, I got something with my neighbor. At 1:45 a.m, we found out it's Suba D'Yerchasa. That was my first case. Now, Baruch Hashem, you can get a prearranged form. You know, you don't have to do that anymore, but you have to know how to figure it out. It's a little bit more complicated to figure out. You don't know how to do it the first time, you ask somebody else. And look, Suba D'Yishtaka Be'Tu'usa. It's a mistake in the first Suba. It should also be fixed up. You know, that also happens. It's known to happen. These are laws of Suba. The whole reading of the ksuba is just a minig. Rashi quotes it as a minig to separate between the eris and the nesuin, right? So the pashup shot is that the ksuba was filled out before the erisin, not like a moshe. The pashup shot in that minig, and there are many many other minhagim which surround the ksuba, many many, and there are many many surround the wedding itself. So I end my series. We touched this series is just the sort of the tip of the iceberg series. So many more complicated in Yonim and the whole Evan Ezra. I didn't even open it. It's still open on my desk, but I didn't even look at it once. Because if you start looking, it can't fit it into a lot of time. So I give you all a bracha. To those who are married should stay married. May have Yashim Shona and the Ksuba should hide away in the drawer somewhere. like the prenup that I hope you signed. All these things should hide away. And it should be zoicha that the marriage that you perform for other people should be lasting marriages. This is for many, many years I had a charm that all the weddings that I did lasted. But for that you have to be the godel of the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. They say he did who knows hundreds of ksumas in return of das, not one ended in divorce. And I know a case where Rabbi Yaakov was supposed to do the wedding. And he deferred because he was friendly with the grandmother, with the father, and said, no, it's your kid, you do it. And they got divorced. So, you know, Yaakov was from Emes Yaakov. We should be zarecha that we should, all of us ourselves and all those who we try to help out, everyone should have a bias, never be Yisrael.